Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Canadif CBD, a great-tasting, superior alternative to traditional dip using CBD in a way that is radical, enjoyable, and effective. All flavor, no tobacco, and no nicotine pouches are spit-free. It comes in 5 core flavors: wintergreen, mint, citrus, mango, and American spice. It's crafted and manufactured in California, the heart of the cannabis industry. You can find the link to get 20% off in the description of this show.
The Pesky Report is sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. Their chef, Michael Best, can cook anything you want with or without being infused with cannabis. Check out some of what they make on their Instagram at High and Happy Catering or call them at 413-785-8999. You'll be happy you did.
Welcome to the Pesky Report, a podcast for Red Sox fans.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report. This is episode number 146. My name is Brad Chandler. And today, I am honored to be joined by Jeff, a.k.a. Big Sox Guy on Twitter. How are we doing, bud?
Brad, what's up, man? Doing well. I appreciate you guys having me. It's nice that we're recording here kind of as the Sox are getting going. Day games are always fun this time of year, so I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing just peachy. I'm doing as peachy as I possibly can. I'm in the process of moving, so like packing up and all this. Like we were talking just a little bit before we started recording, and it's probably the worst thing that anybody could do is like move. It's like, just stay where you're at.
Yeah, it gets one of annoying. The biggest inconveniences. Probably it takes up an entire week or so packing up, moving. Are you moving everything yourself too, or do you have guys moving it for you, or how's that going
to
work?
I actually have my brother, who's kind of a psycho when it comes to moving things. Like I have a bunch of stuff, and he's like, "We'll have you packed and moved in 3 hours." I'm like, "I don't think that's gonna happen." But if you can do that, like, okay. But before we get started, I know you're a baseball fan as well. I want to say happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
All right, I to be honest, don't know the reference right now.
Oh, come on. You're not that big of a fan of baseball then. You do not know Bobby Bonilla Day.
Educate me. Is it? Did he have like the ridiculous contract or something that kept paying him out over like 20 years?
So I believe the contract is until 2039.
Oh my God, dude.
Hold on. I'm pulling it. I was totally hoping that you would get that reference.
Man, that's my bad. Is this the day he signed it or something?
So it's the day. So he gets $1,193,248 and 20 cents every July 1st from 2011 until 2035.
Oh, wow, dude. That's unbelievable. No, my bad for dropping the ball there. I mean, I was aware of his contract. I didn't realize today's the day he gets paid.
Yeah, so Steve Cohen actually made a post earlier today, the owner of the Mets. He was like, happy Bobby Bonilla Day, my favorite day of the year. And it's like, dude, there's no way that that's your favorite day of the year. Like,
if he's the one paying it now,
now he is. I just found out that he also had he's getting deferred $500,000 from the Orioles until 2028.
Wow.
whoever's agent is deserves a pat on the back.
100%.
They did. All right, so we're both Sox fans. That's why I brought you on here. Let's talk about the 2022 Red Sox. First and foremost, let's talk about the big news that just came out about an hour or so ago. Chris Cotello mentioned that Jarren Duran said that he will be available in we start off with a homer? Speaking of Jarren Duran?
Oh, yeah, let's go, dude.
Nice! Let's go!
Welcome. Jarren Duran
said that he will be available in the September.
Oh, dude, he laced that. I mean, that was a cock shot.
Yeah, it really was. Like, how you just was that?
Welcome
was that
to Wrigley, Duran. That's what's up.
Yeah, that I guess that's what happens when you get vaccinated. I guess.
Well, I don't know if he is yet, actually, but he's agreed to it.
Ah, true. Dude,
he's so good, Raffy. Yeah, I think my stream's ahead of yours.
It is. It is.
It's foul though. All right. All right. But anyway. But yeah. So, go ahead.
Word has come out that he will be available come the September series up in Toronto. So that's saying that, hey, he's got the first shot, or he's got the one and done shot, or he's planning on getting the shot. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that's huge. Now, as far as the vaccine side of things, as an individual, I mean, it is what it is when it comes down to your own personal decision. But at the end of the day, if you can't be there for your team 162, just like Trevor Story said at the beginning, then that is not in the best interest of the team. So obviously we saw what happened in the series, the most recent series up in Toronto. I don't know if Duran, because Ref Snyder played his ass off. Ref Snyder had a hell of a series. So I don't know how much of a difference Duran would have made. Maybe he would have, because he's been tearing the cover off the ball and he puts a pressure on the defense that
Shot, dude. So. Yeah,
exactly. So maybe, but so did Ref Snyder too. He hit it, had a big home run against Toronto. But yeah, man, it's huge to be able to know that that's one less guy that we have to not have to worry about going into what's probably going to be the biggest series of the year, at least one of them. That's massive. So we'll see if a couple other guys follow suit here, and hopefully the Sox can be set up for a nice postseason run here.
So far, the only people that we do know of that are unvaccinated are Chris Sale and Tanner Houck, and I believe Josh Taylor. Not 100% on that one, but I think he's unvaccinated.
Okay.
My stance on it is, if you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. It's all up to you. It's your prerogative. My problem is that if you're going to sit here and say that you will do anything for your team and then you're not available for your team because you did not do this, that's where I'm like, well, you're not really into the, like, I will do anything for my team.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. At the end of the day, it's true. Like, if you can't be, if you're not on the field for your team, then you're hurting your team. Or if you're not available to be on the team, then it hurts the team, especially if you're a guy who, like Duran, has positioned himself to be a key piece of this lineup right now, most likely for the rest of the season. Obviously, we'll see what happens when Kike's healthy again. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, if it's a platoon situation or whatever it may be. But yeah, I mean, if you can't be available for your team 162, then it hurts the team. So that's big news coming out. And I'm excited to see Duran play in Toronto next time they're up there.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. Let's move on and talk about how the Red Sox started this season. So we obviously got the big signing. We got Trevor Story. Huge. That was awesome. Thought it was a great signing. Still think it's a great signing. But the way they started off, flattened the entire fan base. Like, everybody was just like, oh no, it's going to be, this is not going to be a good season, yada, yada, yada. So we started the 2022 season off like garbage. Pitchers aren't pitching all that well. Bullpen is blowing games. We had Salamora. He was like throwing games. Literally, he was throwing away games against Baltimore. We still haven't won a series against the American League East.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? How do you feel about this team before they went on their hot streak?
Okay, before. Well, the first thing is that the top of the first inning of the first game of the season looked pretty damn good when Devers took Garrett Cole deep. And I think Sox went up 3-0 after the top of the first. And it was I was very excited about that. And then, yeah, to your point, it was pretty much entirely downhill for the next, God, I don't know, what was it, 6 weeks pretty much. It wasn't good. At no point was I ever on the Sox should not have paid Trevor Story bandwagon. That was a little, I mean, that's just small overreaction to small sample sizes, essentially. Trevor Story has a track record of being a very good baseball player. He is dealing with coming to one of the hardest cities to play in at the time. He was dealing with a position change. He had gotten hit in the face. He was dealing with food poisoning or something. Like, there was a lot of things going in.
A late signing.
A late signing. He got to
his wife got pregnant, or yep. She gave birth.
And also he got vaccinated at the time too, which like that can knock you out a little bit when it's your first time. Like, there's a lot of things that factor into it. At the end of the day, Trevor Story, we know he's a very, very, very good baseball player. And now he's playing. Not only did he turn his bat around, obviously he cooled off a little bit more recently. And I think he homered a couple days ago, but he's been playing gold glove defense the entire season. Like, that's one thing that hasn't gone into a slump. He's made a couple. I think he's got a couple errors, but like he's arguably the best defensive second baseman in the American League right now.
If you ask Alex Cora, who's the best second baseman in the majors, he's going to tell you that it's Trevor Story. And I'll tell you right now, there's some plays he's made that I'm just like, holy crap, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you making these? There was, I believe it was the series against the New York Yankees, which it's so surprising that they've only played them once, one series this year, and we're in July.
I didn't realize that, actually.
It was the first series of the year.
Yeah, they haven't played them since?
No, they haven't. And I think it was after the third game, the one game that they beat the Yankees, Xander made like a tremendous play or whatever, and he was get interviewed by Jamai, and he was like, he's bogeyman, that's why he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that right there is going to earn you like brownie points from this fan base. When you're talking great about our shortstop, what, you know, awesome. Another thing that I kind of want to talk about here is like, seeming as though we're talking about Trevor Story. There's been a lot of concerns. I'm like, okay, he's going to take over for Bogey. If Bogey leaves, this, that, the other thing, he'll play shortstop when Bogey's, taking a rest or whatever. No, Trevor at the beginning of the season stated, he was like, I'm paying attention to my position. I'm the second baseman here. That's my position. I need to focus on that. I'm not going to play shortstop. So they're putting, you know, they've had Kike over there. They've had Albert Ouz play over there. They've had Arroyo play over there. What are your thoughts on the fact that he's committed to his position and not trying to like show off and be like, I can play better than Bogey, or I'm a better option.
I love it because the biggest thing is like, granted, I mean, it's not like he's moving from, I don't know, third base to first base or something. Like, moving from shortstop to second is not a drastic change, but it's still a pretty big change because your footwork turn in two is totally different. It's all reverse, whether you're making the turn or you're making the feed. Obviously the throw is a little bit different. It's a little bit easier because it's shorter, but then you're also dealing with playing short right field at the same time too, in today's day and age of baseball. So the fact that they're not moving him, they're not putting him at shortstop, and he's cool with that, I think that's awesome, because to your point exactly, it shows that he's dedicated to being as good as he can possibly be at the position that he's been signed to play. Now, in terms of maybe playing shortstop next year, if for some reason Bogaerts does leave because he gets long foul ball by Morrill, but it was foul, so that's good. If for some reason Bogaerts does leave, I mean, Story is insurance for that situation. But just because Trevor Story is here, by no means do I think that that means Bogaerts, they're not going to bring Bogaerts back. Could it happen? Yeah, it could. But there's ways to make it work with both of those guys. And then even with, I think before the show, you had mentioned something about speculating on whether or not Devers could be DH, moved to DH in the future. And a way to make it work with these guys is maybe in 3 or 4 years when Marcelo is ready to come up, Story can still play second, Xander can slide over to third, Marcelo plays short, and then and Endeavors slides in to become your full-time DH moving forward. Now, it's obviously all speculation. Who knows what they're thinking, but there's ways to make it work. And the fact that Trevor Story is full-on committing to second base, at least for this year, I think that speaks volumes for this team and for who he is as a person.
Team player. He definitely just wants to pay attention to what he's signed to do. And fantastic. I heard that he actually was offered more money from Colorado to play his position. And he was like, nah, I kind of want to be on a contender.
Yep. I remember those reports coming out and it's like, Haim, you motherfucker, man. We not only did we get our guy, but he could have returned to where he played his whole career to play the same position for more money. But he chose to come to Boston because he wants to win. So not only did Haim know what he was doing in those negotiations, but again, that shows the kind of guy Trevor Story is. And we love having that here in Boston. The guy that wants to win, and so do we. It's a great relationship.
Absolutely. So we've talked about Jaren Duran, what he did today, or what he said. We've talked about Xander, Story, and Devers a little bit. Let's talk about the whole Devers and Bogey situation a little more. Mm-hmm. So we know at the end of the season, Xander has the option to opt out of his contract, which we are all assuming he's going to end up doing. Rightfully so. A lot of people are going to be mad, but the guy deserves to get paid what he's worth. Do you see Xander being paid $30 million, say, I believe he's 30 right now. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think that's right. Let me look it up.
Let's say like another, I believe what is speculated is 8 years, 30 per.
He's 29, he'll be 30 in October. So
right. So basically when they're done winning the World Series, he'll be
30. Hopefully.
Do you think that he's worth $30 million a year?
So I put a tweet out yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. It was about Price, half of Price's contract, because they're still paying half of that. That's off the books. So that's $16 million. Evaldi's right. $17 million will be off the books. There's a lot of other guys that will be off the books. Jackie has a buyout option. I don't think I included that in that tweet. There's a lot of options to find the room. I don't know if Bogarts – or find the room to sign Bogarts and Devers if they want to make it work. I don't know if Bogarts is going to be able to command 30 because obviously we know.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Across the league, there's suspicion about how much longer he can stay at shortstop. So one, to get that $30 million, I mean, playing the premium position is part of it.
All right.
Two, there's some concerns about his power numbers declining. I personally don't see that as a concern because he's fourth in the AL, I think, in doubles. He leads all the shortstops in doubles. He leads shortstops in batting average, on base.
He has not hit a home run since June 3rd.
Interesting. That's my girlfriend's birthday. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
shout out to your girlfriend.
Yeah. Shout out to her. That's also New Hampshire Day, which is where I'm from, 6:03. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It's a good day. But anyway,
not for Xander.
But since then, I guess maybe not. But he's still he's fourth in the AL in doubles with what does he have? 26 or 21, maybe? Yeah, 20 something anyway. But my point is that, okay, the home runs are down, but the doubles are up. So, I mean, he's still driving the ball. He's still getting on base. He's still getting extra base hits. And he's still a feared hitter in the middle of the lineup.
You know, not even – it's July 1st, and he has 21 doubles right now. He had 34 mm-hmm. last year.
Yep. So there you go. He's on pace there, what, about halfway through the season? Not quite yet. That's a 40-plus. That's a Mookie Betts double pace. So.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I just would like to see more power from him. There's been a couple spots where he's been in, like bases loaded or, you know, guys in scoring position, and he'll hit into double players on it. It's, mm-hmm. I understand it happens, but it gets annoying, whatever. So Devers, on the other hand, if we are talking about, all right, you can only have one. You have to pick between Devers and Bogarts. And I feel like that's going to be the position that Heimblum is going to be in come the end of the season. Who do you think they should, who would you choose?
So if I have to choose one of those guys, I mean, it has to be Devers. It has to be. He's the younger talent. He's one of the most feared hitters in baseball. I mean, he might be the best hitter in the American League this season. That's obviously a bold statement. But, I mean, he's making a case for it. He's unbelievable. He can hit for power. He can hit for average. He's starting to hit the other way now. That home run he hit, I think it was in Seattle when the ball was like a foot out of the zone and he wrapped it around the left field pole. Unbelievable, dude.
If there's one player that I could compare him to as a batter, it would be Vlad Sr.
Yeah, I agree.
He is such a good, bad pitch hitter.
Yep.
Like, it can be down at the ankles, and he'll golf that thing out to, like, center field. Yep. It's so incredible how he does that.
Yep, I agree. That's exactly right. He is – I've said that to people, too, before, that he swings at pitches the way Guerrero does. Obviously, they're two different players in most areas, but in terms of – kind of their approaches at the plate, the balls they're looking to drive, that's very similar. And he's also – how old is Devers? Is he 25, I think?
I want to say he's 25.
Yeah, he's 25. He'll be 26 in October. So he's 4 years younger than Xander as well. Now, if it has to be one or the other, I think you have to go with Devers. But I just – if they want both guys here, and Heim has – sounded adamant about wanting both guys here. Obviously, he has to say that too, to an extent. But if they want to make it work with both guys, they can absolutely find a way to make it work. Now, there's always going to be a portion of the fan base in Red Sox Twitter that says, well, they shouldn't pay these guys that much money, whatever. But, like, do you want these guys here or not? At the end of the day, like, they can make it work if they really want to. It might mean a guy like Eovaldi doesn't come back, which would suck, because I love Nate. He's a huge piece of this team. But at the same time, if you're choosing two out of those three guys, I mean, I think the choice is kind of obvious. I would go Xander and Devers in a heartbeat. And then also go ahead.
Our pitching depth is getting a lot better now too.
Exactly.
I mean, we've got Brian Bello. We've got Walters.
Yep.
The guys down in AAA right now are just killing it. We had Zach Kelly on just recently.
Nice.
A relief pitcher out of the pen who's topping it, who's hit 96 miles per hour. Okay. We've got more depth now than we've had in, like, the past 10 years when mm-hmm. it comes. I wouldn't say 10 years. Let's say, like, 5-6 years, you know. So, but yeah, it's nice to be – we've got Winkowski. We've got Siebold. If people can say that Siebold isn't ready or whatnot, I beg to differ. I think he's ready. Winkowski had a bad first game this season too. He pitched against the Orioles and got shelled. Mm-hmm. And then Siebold came up. He got shelled against a really good team like the Toronto Blue Jays. So you can't judge a guy by just a one outing. But
– no, I agree. Obviously, it's guys don't come up here and succeed right away very often. The jump from AAA to the MLB is the hardest jump there is in professional baseball. And yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of development to come, but you're spot on, man. There's a lot of pitching depth in this organization, to the likes of which we haven't seen probably in longer than that time frame. You said 5 or 6 years. Like,
I said 10 the first time. We haven't had any pitching. We haven't had pitching depth.
Prospects. Yeah. When's the last, like, Lester came up and he obviously he was who he was, but who's another prospect that's come up?
You can't say Erod because he came from the Orioles.
Yeah, they traded for him. That was the Andrew Miller trade.
Yeah. And I mean, Lester's probably the last one.
That's the last one I can think of. There might be somebody that we're missing, but yeah. And that's one guy, right? Granted, it's John Lester. He's one of the greatest to pitch in a Red Sox uniform in my lifetime. So I don't want to say any of these guys are going to be him, but the fact that we have like four or five guys that could potentially be back end starters to top of the rotation starters, even though we don't necessarily need them to be just yet. So my point is, if Eovaldi has to go to keep those two guys, I'm okay with it. But at the same time, the contract the season he's having right now, which obviously he's been hurt for a while now, he's not going to re-sign for $17 million. I don't think a team's going to give him $17 million. I think there's too many question marks with that. But also,
the amount of home runs he's given up this season, I think he's given up 16 home runs so far. And that's kind of alarming.
Is it really that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly, and it's not.
And he's been out for almost a month.
Yeah, so he's not. His stock is not very high right now. So maybe he comes back on. Who knows if it's similar to like a Michael Wacha contract? I don't want to put those two guys in the same boat coming in, like Wacha coming into this season where Eovaldi has been over the last 4 years. But
I was really happy about the Wacha signing. We had one of our co-hosts, Ryan Brady, who absolutely hated it, and. Every time he comes on now, I'm always like, so how do you feel about Michael Wacha signing with the Red Sox? He's like, I was wrong. But in other words, like, I have to give him a lot of credit because since he joined the podcast last season, he has adamantly said that Matt Barnes sucks. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people, even some people on our crew, who said that Matt Barnes was elite. And then he shit the bed as soon as he signed that extension. And then
crazy,
Brian,
right?
Brian like Brady was literally like, he was sitting there like, told you so. And then he comes back this season and he sucks again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame because I've always liked Barnes. I think he's a great personality, a great guy in the clubhouse by all accounts. And it was really awesome to see him be an all-star last year as a closer too, like a top three closer in the American League. Excuse me. That was awesome to see. And then, yeah, it was crazy how like he signed the contract and who knows what happened mentally, or maybe it wasn't mental. Maybe it was something physical that the Red Sox just overlooked. Who knows? But I kind of feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, at least he got his money. I've had interactions with some people where talking about like Barnes's contract should mean that they saw him as the closer of the future. And that's kind of what's mess the Sox up right now. I don't know if that's necessarily true because of his contract.
I have actually said that. It's if Matt Barnes was able to be the pitcher that the Red Sox signed him with that extension, they wouldn't be in the position that they are in right now to put Tanner Houck as the closer. He wouldn't have been the closer. Matt Barnes.
Right. I agree, but I don't know if they ever saw him as the closer, the long-term closer of the future, even for those 4 years that they signed him to, because his contract is – it's like 7.25 average annual value is what it is, which that lines up like right in between like Ryan Tepera and Kendall Graveman, both of which are primary or really good setup guys for their respective teams. So I feel like that's where they really wanted Barnes to be, was in that eighth inning role. Granted, at the time they signed him, he was a lockdown closer. So like maybe they thought they could sneak away with one there and Heim was getting a good deal. I think
look at what they did
would be a win if Barnes could be effective on the field, even if he's an eighth inning guy. Like, I think that's a fine contract for that.
Yeah, I could agree with that if he was able to hold down things, you know.
Yeah,
unfortunately, exactly. He's not able to do so. And I'm not a Matt Barnes hater. I don't hate Matt Barnes. I don't ever wish one of our guys to, you know, unless they go to the Yankees. I don't wish bad on any of the guys. But, I mean, you cannot put Matt Barnes this season. You cannot put him in any position. You could be up 13-2 and he'll find a way to like start giving up runs. And it was just, it's becoming too much. And speaking of Matt Barnes, he's been out since May 31st. And not for, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a good thing that he's hurt or whatever, but ever since he's been out of the bullpen and he's been on the IL, the Red Sox have actually been really good. They went 20-6 in June.
Yep.
Granted, you know, Evaldi had been out, Kike has been out, Whitlock has been out as well. But I mean, that's just goes to show like what this team can do. Nice one, Vazzy.
Yep. Another big walk for him.
Did you see the bat flip he did? The other day, dude. Oh my lord, dude. Yeah, like a bat flip on a walk.
Yeah, I think it was Steve Peralt tweeted that. He's like, I love a bat flip on a walk or something. I retweeted it. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge situation, though. Like, I forget exactly what the situation was. That was to load the bases, I think, or something. And it was like a 10-pitch at-bat. It was unbelievable. He's
been having some good at-bats this season.
Dude, that's one thing about Vasquez is he has his ups and his downs. But, like, his whole career, I've been saying this about him, that, like, when he's in the box, 80% of the time he gives you a good at-bat. Whether or not he wins it is one thing, but, like, he's up there and he grinds. What are you laughing at?
Oh, my God. Ian Brown. It took one pitch for Jaren Duran to make up for lost time on Friday in Chicago. And Duran says he won't miss a pitch when the Red Sox are in Toronto for games 157 through 159.
That's huge. He's going.
They are going to live and breathe on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, look, say that you're gonna get vaccinated and you immediately become a superstar. Oh wow.
Let's go.
Fuck everybody who hates Jackie. Dude, is what bases clearing double for Jackie Bradley. I'll drink to that. With that snapped his 0 for 26, I think, right?
Yeah, it did.
That's huge. No, I love Jackie Bradley. I've been a huge Jackie guy, for a long time. My thing with him is that he doesn't need to hit for this lineup. That's my take on it, is he's such a good defender. He hasn't made an error. I think it's been since 2018, maybe 2019. I think 2018. And he's as elite as it gets in the outfield. So anything you get from him from an offensive standpoint is a bonus. Now, is over 26 good? Obviously not. That's really, really bad. But, when he can go out there and do what he does, the Red Sox typically score enough runs anyway. And then on top of it, now he's hitting bases clearing doubles. This is huge. Love to see that.
I'll always have love for Jackie Bradley. My name's Bradley, so we already have a connection.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I told the story to our friend Justin from Baseball and Whatever podcast. They're Cubs, and they're a Chicago-based podcast. So they have two guys that are White Sox fans, and then they have a guy who's a Cubs fan. And I was telling him last night, I was like, since 2013, the very first game I ever went to, I saw a jersey, and it said Bradley Jr. on it. I was like, I have no idea who this fucking guy is, but I'm getting this jersey. I'm getting this shirt. So I bought the shirt. I still wear it to this day.
Hell yeah.
And I will always be a Jackie Bradley Jr. fan.
Love that. Me too. One of my buddies down here, he's from Mass also. Well, I'm from New Hampshire, but he's from Mass. We're both down in Charlotte now. But he's been a huge Jackie guy for as long as I've known him as well. And he basically says the exact same thing. It's just like Jackie doesn't need to hit here. His defense is so elite. And he also is a notoriously streaky hitter. So when he gets going, like, who knows how long he can keep that going for. Right now, maybe this is a sign of something to come. Maybe this is his breakout. We'll see. Time will tell. But so far, things are looking good in Chicago. We like that.
Yeah, definitely too.
Have you ever been to Wrigley?
I have not. So I actually purchased tickets to go to a Dodgers-Cubs game at Wrigley for 2020. And then obviously we know what happened, but my seats were in right field where Mookie Betts was going to be. So that's why I decided to get the right field seats. But unfortunately, I have not been able to make it out to Wrigley. I'm going to try and make it out next year. I that's what I want to do.
I think like with the new scheduler, right? Like everybody's supposed to play everybody every year.
Even so still, I think I would just go to Wrigley just to go to Wrigley. I don't care who was playing there.
I agree. If the Sox weren't going to be going there, I definitely would. I mean, that's – I want to – you're probably you might have a similar goal, but I want to see every MLB stadium. I was really excited to see – did you see what the new Athletics stadium is supposed to look like, that waterfront stadium?
No.
I'll find a picture of it and send it to you, but it looks unbelievable.
Have you heard of the baseball passport?
No.
All right, so I'll have to shoot you the link to it. It's a little book that has all 30 stadiums in it. It has, it's like a thing with all 30 stadiums. You could do the box score. You can like write down certain things that had happened, if it was rainy or whatever that day. But what they do is they've got one for every stadium, and you can get a stamp that says, hey, you visited on this day, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So I purchased that for Christmas.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. For myself in 2019, I was like, this is going to be awesome, because in 2020, I was going to go to Rogers Center. I was going to go up to – I was going to Wrigley Field. I was going to go to Nationals Park. I was going to go to Camden Yards. I was planning on doing all these trips and whatnot. Obviously, like I said, we know what happened in 2020. Unfortunately, wasn't able to go to any games, but I'm still planning on doing it. I've been to Fenway. I've been to the new Yankee Stadium. Nice. Been to Citizens Bank Park. All of those for actual games. But I want to say, and I've said this every time this has been brought up, my favorite stadium so far has been Marlins Park.
Wow. Okay.
It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It sucked driving there because I was coming from Orlando, but 3 hours there and then like 5 hours back. But beautiful ballpark. Sucks that they can't fill it up. But other than that, I'd have to say, like, outside of Fenway, Citizens Bank Park was really nice. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, fuck you. Nice. But Yankee Stadium, when I went there, the seats that I had, they were like cushion seats. So, like, I've never been in a seat that had cushions at that ballpark, you know? Like, I usually sit in the bleachers at Fenway. I don't know. Have you – you've been to Fenway, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've been there. Okay. So, I mean, out in the bleachers, they're not the most comfortable fucking seats. So, like, sitting in a cushioned seat. Oh, you saw that hit the
catcher? Yeah, off the mask. Yeah, that didn't, I think, maybe you're ahead of me now.
Yeah, that seems a little – I'm seeing the replay now.
Yeah, just turned to replay too. But keep going.
Yeah, so it's like when people were like, oh, how can you like – I didn't say I like Yankee Stadium better than Fenway. They just had nicer seats. I will.
Well, that also sounds like – oh, go ahead. I was going to say that it also sounds like if it rains, then you're kind of screwed because the cushions are just going to soak up. Fun fact,
it did rain.
Yeah. How did the cushions retain the water, or how did they push them off or whatever?
So I actually, my nephew is a Yankees fan. Boo. And I'm trying to get him to, like, whatever, you're a Yankees fan because your dad's a Yankee fan. That's my brother. And like, I understand that, kid, you know, but like what I'm trying to do to him is like, I'm trying to get him to like respect the game of baseball, be like a respectful fan, you know, like, okay, you can be a Yankees fan, but don't be a dick, you know? Like, I'm a Red Sox
Does
fan.
That exists,
right? Not really. I'm a Red Sox fan, and like, I don't like the Yankees, but I'm not going to be like a complete dickhead to a Yankees fan unless they're a dickhead to me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we have people that follow us on Twitter that are Yankee fans and whatnot. They troll us. We troll them. It's all in good fun. But the minute it starts getting out of hand, that's where I draw the line, you know? And that's kind of where I want to get my nephew at is like, okay, cool. Baseball is a great sport. Baseball isn't boring. I like it. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I went to Cooperstown with him. Here's the story. Went to Cooperstown with him. And the first thing out of his fucking mouth, this little shit, he goes, he sees all the championships, like the rings and whatnot. He's like, hey, Uncle Brad, why do the Yankees have 27 and the Red Sox only had 9? And he was born in 2010. So I said,
perfect.
Hey, Anthony, why do the Yankees not have a World Series championship since you were born, you fucking asshole? You know, like, I do not hold back. So,
well, he doesn't either. So, yeah, you respect that. That's...
But now, you know, we are on a whole new level. You know, he's about to be, I think, 12 years old, and we're more respectful with each other when it comes to that. Like, we talk to each other about baseball, and he's pretty cool about it. And I still haven't been to a game at Fenway with him, and I want to make sure, like, the first game that he goes to at Fenway is with me, or at least I'm there, you know. And we went to a game one day last year. It was against the Blue Jays, and his dad got tickets on top of the Green Monster from he's a painter, so he got it from one of the people, Sherman Williams or whatever it is. And I spent $400 just so I could be there.
Damn.
It got
That's
rained
dedication.
Out.
That's dedication.
Yeah, it got rained out.
Oh.
So my nephew still hasn't seen a game at Fenway.
Oh, dude. Did you get like refunded for your tickets? How does that work? Or did you go to the rescheduled game?
It was a rescheduled game. It was a 7-inning doubleheader. I was so upset.
Damn. I'm glad they got rid of that this year.
It was Garrett Richards on the mound, too. So,
what were they calling him? Junkball G?
Yeah, Junkball G. Yeah, Garrett that's Richards. What the Section 10 was calling him. Yeah.
So you were talking about the stadiums you had been to. So you mentioned – or you were supposed to go to Washington and Camden. Have you been to either of those yet, or you were supposed to in 2020? So last year the Sox had they went to Camden and then they went to DC, like a road trip. It was the final two series of the season.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm in Charlotte, and there's a Charlotte. I don't know if you've ever been here, but like a lot of Charlotte is transplants. There's a lot of people from New England down here. It's the closest warm city, I guess. But anyway, so me and a couple of my buddies who are really good Sox fans. Are really big Sox fans. We went to the series. We went to a game at Camden where Erod pitched. I think they lost that game. Did we just swept that series? I don't know if they got swept or maybe they lost 2 out of 3. Maybe it was even 3 out of 4 or something. It wasn't good. So we saw them lose there. Then we went to DC. Both of these stadiums are so beautiful, but Washington, the National Stadium is the coolest stadium outside of Fenway that I've been to. I've only been to, I think that was the 4th. Yankee Stadium will be the 5th this month. I'm going the Sunday game, which might get moved to Sunday Night Baseball, whatever that date is. Like the
it's
17th,
almost guaranteed.
17th, I think. But so anyway, so yeah, DC is so beautiful, dude. It's such a great stadium. It's obviously, it's pretty new compared to a lot of stadiums. The atmosphere around the stadium, they have this bar called the Bullpen, which is basically just like, this big open like outdoor area that has all these different vendors in it, beer vendors. Go ahead.
So the way the season ended last year, it was, we got swept by the Yankees. We took,
yeah, I was at that too. That we fucking went, sucked.
We went 1-for-3 against the 1-2 against the Orioles. And then we swept the Nationals.
Yep.
That was the Nationals series was a big one because I don't believe Soto got a hit.
I don't remember. I know he didn't do much. I do remember we were talking about Vasquez earlier and always having big at-bats. They came up the Sox were down, or they were up 1-0. This was the second game of the series. I went to the first two games that series. They were down. I think they were up 1-0 maybe, and then Washington tied it up. And then it was top of the ninth, and there was like two outs and a runner on first, and Vasquez tripled over Soto's head down the right field line. And that's just, dude, there's something about Vasquez that I just trust him to do something good when he comes up there. He did it then. It was unbelievable. But a story from that series. So me and one of my buddies, actually two stories. So do you remember when Section 10 broke the Sox wearing, originally thinking the Sox were wearing whitey tighties, and then they were wearing Power Rangers costumes going from Camden Yards to DC?
No.
All right, dude. Awesome. So it was me and a couple of my buddies. This is before I had Twitter also. One of my buddies DM'd this picture to Carabas. I'll send you the pictures. And Carabas, like, they were recording Section 10 at the time, and he was like, I think I have breaking news. The Red Sox are traveling to DC wearing whitey tighties right now. And dude, so we found, it was ridiculous. So we were staying in the hotel that was across from Camden that looks into the stadium. So we were right there. So we went back after the game, we had a couple drinks, and we were like, all right, let's go try to find where the buses are. Just see if we can like get any photo ops or whatever, you know, see who we can see. So we found where the buses were. We saw it's like all gated off, but like you could see the players coming out. And then all of a sudden we start seeing players coming out, literally wearing like, it looked like diapers. They had like pink crop tops and pig noses on. And we're like, we couldn't tell who they were. It was like dark out. Like, here, let me see if I can. I don't know how long it'll take me to find a picture, but it was unreal, dude. But anyway, so long story short, so it turns out it was rookie hazing, and
okay,
it was the Orioles came out first. It was the Orioles rookies that were dressed in the whitey tighties and the crop tops. And then the Sox rookies, once they started coming out, we realized that because they were also closer to us, the Orioles were further away, so we really couldn't see who was who. Then we see Sox rookies like Sawamura, Dahlbeck came walking out in Power Rangers costumes. Dahlbeck, I think, was the green Power Ranger.
Dude, I could see that.
Yeah, yeah. He played it well, too. Sawamura, I think, might have been blue. I forget, but it was cool. So then the next day – or so then we DM'd Carabas, and they like talked about it on Section 10, and then they dropped the episode at like 2 a.m. and I started listening, and they started talking about it, and I like woke my boys up. I was like, guys, we made it to Section 10. And so then on our way to DC, we stopped at like 4 or 5 Halloween stores on the way. We're like, dude, we need
you guys got to get Power Ranger
costumes.
Yes, but
they were all sold out though, dude. No one had them. The only sizes they had were like youth sizes that just weren't gonna fit.
Oh man! Did you at least get the masks?
No, they didn't have anything. Well, I guess maybe. Yeah, I guess maybe we could have bought the costume and just tried to put the mask on or something. But no, we didn't. We didn't do that. But that would have been legendary to show up like that. But so that was one story. Then another story. We get to DC, and then we're talking to this guy in the bathroom. Me and one of my buddies, the same one who had DM'd the pictures to Carabas, talking to this guy in this bathroom. He's wearing like an all-star Matt Barnes jersey from that year. And I was like, dude, that is a fresh jersey. And he's like, hell yeah, man. Thanks. Like we shoot the shit for a little bit. And he's like, you guys want to hear the best story you'll hear all weekend, or the best fact you'll hear all weekend. And then my boy, David, he's like, go ahead, but I disagree. I bet we have a better one for you. And he was going to tell him, so the dude is like, okay, go ahead. And David's like, we broke news to Section 10 last night about the Sox wearing the Power Rangers costume. And the dude is like, okay, that's pretty good, but I'm Matt Barnes' brother. No way, dude. And right when he said it, it was like, he looks exactly like him, dude. Same beard and everything. And like, I believed him, one, because of that, and two, because who else is wearing an all-star game Matt Barnes jersey? Like,
who's going to actually admit to being Matt Barnes' brother right now, you know?
Well, and
no
this
offense,
was
when he, no this offense was when to Matt was, Barnes.
Yeah, no disrespect to Matt Barnes. I hope he can come back, and I don't know if he's hurt or what. I mean, obviously he is because he's hurt right now, but I don't know if that's what's ailing him, but
we'll have to talk about this. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so that was cool. So he was a wicked cool dude. We saw him like a little bit like the next game, I think, too. And was like, Barnes, what up? And he was like, what up? But so those are some pretty cool takeaways from those two visiting those two stadiums. It was pretty cool how it worked out too, as far as the Sox going from DC right to, or going from Camden right to DC. I don't think that happens very often.
I looked a little up. But yeah, that's pretty cool. You get to meet, you met Matt Barnes' brother and whatnot. I think, so like the only people I've ever like got to like shoot the shit with, I did get to shoot the shit with Dave Dombrowski in 2019.
Oh, nice. That's
I went to a spring training game.
Mm-hmm.
And, him and Tony La Russa was sitting in the back, like behind home plate.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was asking my buddy, I was like, should I go see if I could get a picture with him? He's like, why not? What's the worst he could say? No. And yep. I was like, sure. Like, that's pretty much it. And so I went up and I said, hey, Dave, do you think I could get a picture with you? And he was the nicest guy. He's like, absolutely. You know, and he just he's like, and then in the background was Tony. And I didn't realize it until after I took the picture.
Yeah.
So, but, that's sick. The only person I've ever been like, holy shit, I'm meeting so-and-so when it came to baseball was I got to go a couple times. The Red Sox have put on like a fan appreciation day where you get to go down on the field, meet the players and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2019, I got down on the field. I took pictures with Alex Cora, Steve Pierce, Josh Taylor, Brian Johnson, you know, all these people and whatnot. And then Tech comes around and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, Tech, can I get a picture? And he's like, yeah. And I literally, this is how I had my phone and I was shaking.
Yeah, I bet.
I was shaking. I almost dropped my phone. He puts his arm on my shoulder. He's like, calm down. I'm not going anywhere. And he's like, do you want me to take the picture for us? And I was like, no, I got it. And I took the picture and like, I literally turned around, looked at my girlfriend at the time. And I was like, holy shit. I just met Derek Tech. Like, it wasn't, dude, holy shit. I met awesome, Alex Cora. Like, I met Xander back in 2014. I met Grady Sizemore. I met Andrew Miller. I met all these players and whatnot. And the one person who got me was Veritek.
Yep. Dude, I mean, he was a staple from before 04, but obviously that 04 team, 07, I think still he was, dude, that's the captain. He's like the OG captain. Here's one for you. Actually, okay, I found some of it. So this, we found the buses after Camden. We also found them after DC, and I don't know how much like the players really appreciate it, but there was a couple guys, like I remember Hansel Robles walking out and I just was like, Hansel, and I like threw him deuces and he like looked back and like threw him back, and like that was pretty cool. But this is, if you can see it, oh shit.
Heim.
Yeah, that's me and Heim, which is pretty dope.
Yeah, and then, hold on a second. I got one for you.
Yep.
There you go. This is.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Hell without, yeah. Without the mask. You get awesome. To see that beautiful fucking chin. Also, fun fact about that was that night, John Schreiber was coming out of Fenway, and I forgot who they were calling. They were calling him somebody else. It was totally the wrong person. I was like, what's up, Schreiber? And he was like, what up? And then came over, and like, I was like, yo, can I get a pic? And he's like, yeah, sure. Basically, that's because I was the only one who knew who he was. I was like, you know, these kids were called. I forgot who they were calling him. I think they called him Schwarber. They called him. It wasn't even close. I think they were calling him Hauk or something like that. Like Hauk, I don't know if you've ever seen him. He is tall.
Yeah, not in person. No, I haven't.
Yeah, he is tall.
I bet. But, and he also looks nothing like Schreiber.
No.
So that's wild.
Here's, kids. So
I want to just show you one more and then we can get away from this. But this is, if you can see it, the video on the Sox bus of them in Power Rangers.
Who was the Red Ranger?
I'm not sure who that is, but then Bob to the left, he's combing his hair right there, sitting down.
Oh my god, that is.
And then there's another green. So yeah, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, man. So where were we before we dove into all the nostalgia here?
I gotta pull something up.
All right, yeah, let's keep it going. I love this kind of stuff, dude. Like, this is like, I've been looking for a way to just like get more Red Sox into my life, and this whole Twitter thing has kind of been my guilty pleasure, I guess.
Here we go. Share this. Here's me up in the booth.
Oh, nice.
That's to my Webster right there.
City Connect.
Hold on. I don't want to show any
inappropriate. Oh, that was pictures. In the booth?
That was in the booth.
Oh, that's sick. Which booth? The Nesson booth?
It was Nesson. Which am I? I hit him up. I was like, hey, I'm up on the State Street Pavilion.
Nice, dude.
That was the day I met Tech.
Yeah, okay.
So here's another one. This one I like almost shit my pants in. Salty and Tech.
Oh, no beard either.
Yeah, I was freshly shaven.
Yeah, man, Tech's a legend. I love that he's just like a Red Sox for life.
I don't know. His wife keeps hinting at he's going to be a manager for another team.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, he was in the runnings. He was in the running when Cora was let go and all of that. There was like rumors about Veritek. I think there was rumors about Mike Lowell, I had heard. Obviously, they went with Renicky, which in hindsight was the 100% right move because Renicky did what he needed to do. He understood the assignment, and let's get Cora back in here.
That was a terrible year.
But thank God it was only 60 games.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people bitch about that. It's like, oh, he was a terrible manager. It's like, nah, he really wasn't a terrible manager. It was just
look at what he was working with, dude.
We had Mike Kickham and Zach Godley as our starters. Like, calm down.
As a wise man once told me, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Who said that?
A guy that I used to coach with. Actually, his dad did, because I coached. I lived in Myrtle Beach for a couple of years. I coached travel ball down there, and when we would lose games, that's just some.
I mean, not wrong. That's not wrong.
Definitely not wrong. You can't do that.
I'm trying to find my other picture. Here's one. This is the very first game I ever went to. That's who I got to meet.
Johnny? Nope. Nice, dude. I heard him and Karabas are going to be jumping out of a plane soon.
That's fucking crazy. that's just too much for me.
I love Johnny.
Who wants to jump out of a perfectly fine plane?
Yeah, I'd rather land on the ground. But I do have – so after –
hold on. One of our friends from UK Red Sox, they came over – and they went to a Red Sox game, and then they went to a Woo Sox game, and I met up with them.
Oh,
and
awesome.
And because I got to meet up with them, they have connections with people who work for the Woo Sox.
Okay. Well,
I just so happened to get to meet this dude.
Tim Lin?
Nope.
Hell yeah, dude. He's a legend, too.
I was like, holy shit. Like, I was literally like, I turned around, I saw him, and I was like, hey, Tenlin, can I get a picture? He's like, absolutely.
He probably loved that, dude. He's like, you recognizing me? He still looks just the same.
He really does, man. He does. And, I mean, it was, I believe it was something to do with ALS that day. And
okay.
I think his mom had ALS. So he's very, man. And I think he lives in the area. I think he lives in, like, Worcester, around that area.
Okay.
So that's why he was there. It was really cool. Yeah,
how's that ballpark?
Dude, so I've never been to McCoy Stadium, so I can't be like, oh, you know,
yeah,
whatever, tuck it. But, man, it is so beautiful there. Like, there's not a bad seat. I tried to go to a game last year. It was actually a game that Danny Santana was rehabbing at.
Okay.
And I was the only person there that was booing him. I absolutely hate Santana. I wanted him off our team.
From previous?
No, I just didn't like him on our team. I thought he was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, so he had already been up. Because he started, didn't he start in
AAA? He started in AAA, and they had to purchase his contract or something to do with his contract. Like, if they didn't purchase his contract and he didn't get called up or something, he would become like a free agent or, you know, whatever.
I'm not sure how all that
he ended up coming up during the Philly series that Franchi hit that fucking bomb.
Okay. The one home run he hit last year, which is like the farthest home run hit of the season, I think.
It's also it's still the furthest one. He's got the two furthest home runs from 2021 and 2022. Wow. Last year was like 475. This year, I don't know. It was ridiculous last year. This year's was 475. Alex Verdugo had one that almost beat it, but was off by 1 foot.
Damn, dude, Verdugo. He can get into it, man. I mean, there's talk about his power too. And like I've said on Obstructed View, we talked about it earlier in the week. And
shout out to our boys at Obstructed View.
Yeah, I love what they're doing. Chris over there is doing great stuff with everything he's got going on between that, Beyond the Monster, Sox Specs. He's got a lot of stuff. Sox Dingers. It's real cool what they're doing. But yeah, Verdugo's power is, I don't know, it's not anything like crazy, but like then every now and then he just fucking gets into it. And he can produce as much power as some of the top power hitters in the game. But I think a lot of it, dude, is especially in June, he's been hitting he's just squares the ball up. I think I put a tweet out that his hard hit percentage, which is any ball hit over 95 miles per hour, was like, like over 38%, I think it was, or something, which is ridiculous.
I prefer him to try to smack the ball the other way.
And he's been doing a lot of that.
I'd rather him do that than try to do a power, hit homers every time. But man, when he gets a hold of one, he can get a hold of one. And he's, you know, another thing with him is he's got a pretty swing.
Yeah, he does. He does. It's so smooth. It's so beautiful.
I mean, nobody will ever have the prettiest that have Ken Griffey Jr. swing.
No,
that's literally the prettiest swing ever. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm just going to say it's the sexiest swing ever. Verdugo's—he's got a real, it's real fluid, and it's like sometimes he has a crap swing, but most of the times I will say I'm not a fan of his stance, or I wasn't a fan of his stance the first time I saw it.
Yeah,
like the
it's
fact
very
that
nonchalant.
He sits outside.
He's like, it's super like nonchalant, like. But that's the thing, like a stance. That's what it is. It's a stance. It's wherever you're comfortable. At the end of the day, you just need to be able to get to the right spot. And however you're comfortable getting there, that's what matters. And, like, that's what works for Verdugo. It's crazy. I mean, you look at Chuck Knobloch's stance, not to bring a Yankee into this podcast, but he was a good hitter, but his stance was as weird as it gets. But, yeah, point is, like, just a stance.
Yeah, I mean, if it works for them, it works for them. I mean, there's a lot of people that have weird stances. We really didn't even talk a lot about like what I wanted to talk about in this episode, but we've got the Sox facing off against the Cubs right now. Sox are actually beating them 4-0. It's bottom of the third. Love it. Hopefully one day I get to go. Holy crap, Napoli shaved his beard off.
Nah. That was another one I was gonna say.
I do not like that. That looks so weird.
I'm seeing commercials on my screen right now, so I'm looking forward to, or maybe not looking forward to seeing it. Is he at the game right now?
He's the first base coach.
That's right. I actually, you know, I didn't know that until your previous episode with baseball, whatever. And you guys were talking about that, I think.
Yeah.
He brought up Napoli.
Yep. Napoli's the first base coach. It was so weird because it was him, Ross, I think Euclid was there, and they were all like coaches and stuff.
Euclid was a coach with the Cubs?
Yeah, he worked with the Cubs.
Okay.
It's so weird. And I just found this out just recently. What are we doing here? Why are we taking Why are you pulling our shirts up?
What am I missing right now? Where are you in the game?
I am in the third inning.
I'm watching Charlie Moore commercials.
Oh, ball just went back to Rich Hill, and that's in. End of the inning. So I'm probably that far behind.
Maybe that, or I am. Anyway, but yeah, keep going.
So, yeah, I mean, like, all those guys were part of the Cubs, and I was just like, holy crap, dude. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
So, hey, Jeff, I got to say, man, it was a pleasure having you on. Unfortunately, I have some things I have to get done. I have some people about to come over and move the couch. So
yeah, good luck with the move, man.
Yeah, I will definitely have to have you back on again so that we can have some more conversations, because I feel like we really didn't converse as much as we wanted to. I feel like you and I could sit here talk basically all day, but we really did pick a really bad time to record this as well.
Yeah, man, I agree. That it's funny. You messaged me earlier. And you're like, hey, I didn't realize Sox were playing at 2. I didn't realize that either. Kind of cool, though, to be able to just like basically watch the game together, whether or not our streams lined up or not. Dude, but yeah, man, this is a good time kind of talking through some nostalgia a little bit, talking about a few different things. But yeah, man, would love to hop on with you again. And just let me know. We can absolutely coordinate something.
Yeah, let's try to do something. I'll keep in touch with you through Twitter and whatnot. Dude, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. Everybody, go follow Jeff. Give them your Twitter account. Let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, Big Sox Guy on Twitter. That's me. I like to post mostly just like stats and just things I find interesting about the Red Sox. Some stuff are hot takes, some stuff are not. Some stuff I might just put out there to see what other people think. Not necessarily I believe it per se all the time. But yeah, Big Sox Guy on Twitter. Follow me there and go Sox.
Also, before we do go, I had one question for you.
Yeah.
You had a contest that you were a part of with Boston Strong.
Okay.
How did that come about?
You're talking about the ticket giveaway?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just DM'd him and I was like, hey, man, would love to partner with you in a ticket giveaway. I'm just trying to kind of get my name out there a little bit, or at least my Twitter handle. So I bought a couple Red Sox tickets and he was like, absolutely. We did it for the, or he or she, I don't actually know who runs the account.
I was about to say, nobody knows. Kind of like,
in respect to like what stats. They're doing, that exactly like that. I mean, I think Boston Strong has 40 plus thousand, Stats has 50 plus thousand. So what those people are doing behind those accounts is awesome. But yeah, that was just partnering on a ticket giveaway, trying to promote my Twitter account a little bit, because I just started in December, but then also really show like Red Sox fans that like, look, I'm a fan too. And I want to just like, I want Red Sox Nation to just all kind of be in this together as far as cheering on the Sox, whether they're up, they're down, like we're in this together. And this is kind of my way of showing that, that I'm one of the fans as well. So yeah, partnered with them on that. And it was pretty cool.
Definitely agree. I ended up going to the opening day game. And
nice.
Even though they lost, it was still a good. It marked two things off my bucket list. I got to go to a Jackie Robinson Day, and I also got to go to opening day. Yeah. So.
Hell yeah, that's sick. I haven't been to either. Opening day is 100% on the bucket list. It's just a matter of making it work. Hopefully, maybe next year. If not, hopefully in the next couple.
So I would totally do that again. I probably wouldn't pay what I paid to be on the monster again. Look at Cordero going. There you go, buddy.
I think I am ahead of you, actually. Yeah, he's on first. I didn't see how he got on, though. He's single?
He beat the shift.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah. You love to see that. Yep. Was it him who bunted the other day? He laid down the bunt? Dude, let's go. Like, so why not do more of that?
You've got to check out our merch. We have a Franchi shirt.
Okay.
It says MILF. And then underneath it says, man, I love Franchi.
Yeah, dude. All right.
And then the eye is Franchi's silhouette with him waving.
Okay. Yeah, I got to check that out. Hell yeah.
Anybody out there who's a fan of Franchi, definitely go check that out. We'll be posting the merch link in the section for the podcast, for the episode. So, Jeff, thanks so much for joining. And definitely want to get you back on again. And so maybe next time by the next time we talk, I'll be 100% moved and we could probably talk for like 2 hours if we really wanted to. Or hey, who knows, man? Maybe we could watch the game together, watch the stream together, and be off time with each other, but like just watch a game.
Yeah, it's not working out too poorly here. This has been good. But yeah, Brad, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. Good luck with the move. I know that's always a pain in the ass, so I hope that goes well. And yeah, let me know. I'd love to come on again, but at the very least, let's interact on Twitter, and I will be checking out that Franchi shirt as soon as we get off here.
Yeah, the merch link is on our profile and our Twitter account. So.
Perfect.
All right, man. Take it easy. Everybody else, have a good one.
All right. Later.
Thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Pesky Report. Make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.